Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, you know what that is. It's off-season Bruins off-season music right there. Getting closer. The Bruins have signed Brandon Carlo, and they have signed Charlie McAvoy. They're both back, Zoe. They're both signed, sealed, delivered. They're both back. All of it is taken care of. What do you think of that?
I can't believe the number McAvoy
signed. I can't believe the number on either of these two guys.
We were talking about that. You know, this is going to be a disaster because, you know, he's going to take him to the wall. You're talking $7-8 million a year.
So the number on McAvoy is maybe not what's most surprising as we learn more about his how hard it would have been for him to move, right? And the cost of him trying to go elsewhere and how he was pretty much locked in here.
Well, the number's up to what, 7-2 and year 3?
It's sort of the length of the deal that I'm surprised. I'm surprised it wasn't a shorter term deal, maybe by a year.
He's still going to be only 24 when his deal's up.
I understand that. I do. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But here's just the details today on Brandon Carlo coming back, re-signing with the Bruins for 2 years and an average annual value, that is, if I can get the words out, at $2.85 million. Okay. And so you've got Charlie McAvoy at $4.9 million. So between these two guys, you're bringing both of them back on a team that is cash-strapped, we'll say, because they just have no space up against the cap. And all of a sudden, you're able to get both of them signed, as Don Sweeney said they had the space. Man, he really meant it. He wasn't kidding.
Was there just no market? Like, that's a good deal for Carlo.
I don't think it's about the market. It's about the number that he was able to convince them to take. It's not about market. It's about how did you get this done?
Yeah.
How did you get this done without holdouts, without it getting contentious? I mean, maybe it did get contentious, but it's done. And both of them are there for combined under $8 million. 7.75 combined.
It's like a miracle. It really is.
All hail Don Sweeney and the Bruins.
You thought this, you thought McAvoy's was going to be ugly. You really did. You're talking holdout. You're thinking, you know, shoot, he's your core. He's the guy that you want to sign. You know, Char's number's down. You're getting to the end with Bergeron at some point here. That's a guy like you had to lock up.
Do you want to hear the negative take on the deal?
Sure.
Here's the negative take. Got to go to DJ Bean, NBC Sports Boston. You want to hear the negative take, why it's a bad deal? And those are my words, not his. Bruins playing with fire with Charlie McAvoy bridge deal from NBCSportsBoston.com. DJ Bean writes, I think Charlie McAvoy is going to be really good. So naturally, I don't like his new deal.
Well, I don't understand it.
Making sense of that?
No. So you think, yeah, we all know he's going to be good.
He says, that will be an unpopular opinion. For the cash-strapped 2019-20 Bruins, this contract rules. Okay? It does.
Yeah.
I agree there. He says the AAV is very low at $4.9 million, which means the Bruins don't have to subtract from their roster as they try to make one or two more cup runs during the Chara era. Are we calling it the Chara era?
No, not anymore.
I call it more like the Bergeron, Marchand.
That was the one thing that kind of like made me say, Because I think of Chara as any one of the past 3 years, including this one right now, if it ended up being his last, I would say, yeah, that makes sense. He's
like great. Anything Chara gives you is gravy at this point, right?
Right.
Like,
so
We're
at the end of the Chara era, but it's a small part of it, of the point that he's making. But yes, it did kind of make me stop for a second and consider that. But okay, we can move past it. I don't know if he's here beyond this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the Chara. I would say it's more about the Krejcis, Bergerons, Marchands, not Pastrana.
Well, maybe he didn't mean it that way too. Maybe he meant it from beginning to end. You know, as far as totality, to put a year mark on it. Without being able to elaborate. Kind of just slap that out there. Chara got here. When's he leaving? Like that, I could see like that maybe being what he meant.
I would just say in the years you have, the good years, I think Chara's good years are behind him.
Like you say,
he's still a serviceable player, but his good years are gone.
So you say the Brady era.
Brady's still playing at an elite level.
Right, that's carrying.
Chara's not playing at an elite level anymore.
So it can't be that then. Yeah.
He's still a good player, guy you want on your team, and you certainly want in your room, but I don't think he's playing at an elite level.
No, anything he could give you at this point is great.
And he writes, it lets them keep Torrey Krug for at least the final year of his contract.
That's a big one.
You can understand why this pact works for them. So DJ Bean starts this by saying all the great things, all the things we like about the deal. Yeah. Keeps the team intact. You don't have to move anybody. Torrey Krug stays. They don't have to move a contract off the books. They still are able to be as competitive as we think they were a year ago. I think the rest of the league got better, which makes it harder for them, but at least they're a competitive team,
right?
And they're a good team. He says, but that sweet cap hit comes at a price, which is that if all goes according to plan, and McAvoy becomes the player we all think he'll be, the Bruins will be paying huge dough for his services when it expires in 3 years.
So what? So you get a decent deal for 3 years? Why wouldn't you pay the guy? If he explodes and becomes the player that you think he is, why wouldn't you pay him then?
So what I think he's saying is...
Where are these other guys? You're going to have money coming off the books, right?
So what I think he is saying is, if the Bruins were in a better cap situation, that they would be in a position to sign him to a longer-term deal now at more of an AAV and would be able to lock him up.
Like do an 8-10-year deal.
Well, maybe like not that, but they'd be able to sign him for a few more years with a little bit more money, and they'd be able to, you know, grab more of those years in his 20s at a more reasonable rate where he wouldn't be looking to get out after three. And I'm surprised that he even gave them the three, given that the sort of how backed into the salary cap they are right now. I thought he might even be able to hammer them and get out of it in a couple of years. So they agree on the 3 years, and that's what he gets out at 24. As he writes, McAvoy will be 24 when his contract ends. He'll be in the prime of his career. 2 years from unrestricted eligibility and will have received Norris votes. Maybe he'll even have a Norris win. And you don't want to be negotiating with a young franchise player who's already won a Norris. Ask the Canadians how that worked out. Let's talk more about this. Is this going to end up coming back to bite the Bruins? Charlie McAvoy not being in a better position to sign him to a longer deal right now. Could it spell trouble for the Bruins down the road? We'll talk about that with you and your calls and your reaction to the Bruins getting deals done with both McAvoy and Carlo, two of their good young players. We're talking about it next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
I think what we have here is special. There's no doubt about it. There's no place I'd rather be to be a part of such an unbelievable group of men, from staff to everybody involved. Like it's a blast to come to the rink every day. It truly is something special. I feel fortunate. I'm blessed to be a part of it. And I think that it's something where we all want to be competitive and we all want to win. And hell, we were really close to getting that done last year. We all have the same goal this year.
What a jam.
I don't know if I like this anymore, because it reminds you of going down to the Garden there. We did our remotes as the playoffs were in Boston, Beantown, as Kevin Weeks would call it. Reminds you of the loss. That song reminds me of the loss. It's like, oh.
Okay, so the talent is there with Charlie McAvoy, right?
Sure.
Is the durability there? Has it been there?
No, I mean, obviously not.
He's played two seasons. He's been hurt in each of the two seasons, right?
Yeah.
He's dealt with injury. That's been a concern, even though last year's injury was gruesome. Remember he blocked a shot and his foot exploded?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that a durability issue?
No. That's bad luck.
But it's just a matter of, listen, he hasn't played a full season yet, so let's see where that goes.
Right.
The lateness thing, that was an issue, right?
Yeah.
His players, his teammates called him out for it. Brad Marchand called him out for it. Right, spoke publicly about that.
Right.
Then it was downplayed after. Cam Neely, Patrice Bergeron, both sort of downplayed it after the fact. But he came out and said, I've got to learn. He was late for two different separate team-related events. We all see the talent. We all know how good he can be. But in terms of like locking him up to huge money long-term, wouldn't that be risky to do that too?
Yeah, on both sides. You don't really see these type of deals really come down, right? Like, hey, I'm happy for what they're paying me here. You know, and the Bruins don't want to extend themselves to where, okay, maybe he doesn't turn out to be the type of player. I mean, we've gone through this with guys like, what, Dougie Hamilton. You go back all the years, the guys that they had at Kessel. I mean, you know,
like, this is a fair deal, yeah, right? It's a fair
it's
deal.
It's a fair
bridge deal for a younger player.
I think it's more fair for the team than it is for the player.
Who you will get three quality years out of, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to the end, and guess what? If he's really good, then you pay.
Yeah.
Appropriately for a really good player who has proven himself over the course of three really good years.
If you love the player, yes.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how that's such a terrible risk. And by then, you're in a much better position, I hope, to do it. That's the risk? Oh, he might be good, and you might not get a steal on the player. Well, the Bruins overpay everybody, and for the one time they don't do it, now it's a problem?
Yeah, what do you think? Char's going to be here in
now
3 years?
Now it's like,
who the hell's
going to
be your defenseman in 3 years? Who knows if Krug will still be here, you know? This guy should be here 3 years and beyond, well beyond.
He could have a Norris by then. I'll tell you what. Why don't we worry about that when he actually wins a Norris trophy? And then we'll worry about it. That's what it says, DJ Bean. DJ Bean writes, you don't want to have to be negotiating with a young franchise player who's already won a Norris. Actually, you know what? I do. If I'm the Bruins, that's exactly who I want to be negotiating with in 3 years because that means he won a Norris. That means that he's played that well for you, for the Bruins, some point in the next 3 years. That's exactly the guy I want to be negotiating with. Yep, I do want to negotiate with that player. That means that he's played that well for Boston. And has helped the team win at that level. And has probably played an entire season, too, along the way. Isn't that great?
Yeah, he's going to, I mean, hey, he should be your bona fide superstar moving forward along with a guy like Pastrnak. Like those two guys. You could see that down the road. At some point, you're going to have massive turnover on his
You don't want to be negotiating with a league MVP. Yeah, you do. That means he won the MVP while playing for you.
Yeah, it means he's a good player, right?
Yes, of course. I don't understand that.
And it's like an Edelman deal. You get this great quality player at a reduced rate compared, you know, to other guys around the league that plays his position. It's a great deal for
DJ's players. Not alone. I don't know who Logan Mullen is, but I read the same write-up on Nesson yesterday, too. The headline there, that the Bruins' Charlie McAvoy deal, a short-term win with a long-term risk. Oh, the risk. The risk of having to pay a good player if he proves himself over the next three seasons and is so good that you've got to give him more money. Oh, how terrible that could be. That he plays extremely well and you've got to give him a raise. And you've got to pay big-time dollars for a big, bona fide superstar. Oh, no.
Oh,
not that.
Tough problem.
Have the Bruins had an issue paying the big superstar players that they've had?
Nope.
So what's the issue?
Nope, they inked up Marchand.
So if he's great, then you pay him.
Yep.
And guess what you get after those 3 years? You can say, well, he helped us, and he helped us when we were financially in a tough spot. Now we got to pay the price.
Yeah.
And he's going to make it back. That's how it works. Oh, it's going to be bad for the Bruins if they have to pay a great player. It'd be terrible to do, to have a great player on the team and have to pay him. Please. Let's hope he wins the Norris. I'm rooting for him to win the Norris and the Bruins pay him all kinds of money. That's what we're all rooting for. Mike's in the truck. Mike.
Yeah, I got to tell you that the signing of Carlo and McAvoy is the biggest thing they had to do in the offseason to tighten up that blue line. The young core of this team is fantastic. And this, and like you said, Beetle, in the long run, they're going to pay him, and he's going to deserve that money. If I could, for one second, I want to thank both you and Zoe for recommending a show I saw over the weekend, Yacht Rock Review, baby.
Where'd you see them?
Those guys are fantastic.
Where'd you see them, Mike?
They were at the Indian Ranch in Webster, Mass., a little tiny venue that's outside, about 1,500 people.
They're unbelievable, aren't they? Talented guys.
I got to tell you, I took my wife and my neighbor for his birthday, and all the way there, I'm sending, listen, I'm going on a recommendation from these guys.
Well, Zoe doesn't know. Zoe's never seen him.
I've never seen him.
He's just heard about
Yacht
Rock. We're trying to get him to go next year.
Zoe, you would love him. They're fantastic.
I know. Wear a captain hat.
Oh, everybody does. I wish I'd known that.
So can't you buy them there?
Mike, Mike, I bet they come back to House of Blues next spring. You get there. I'll get Zoe to go this
time. Where
did
they play last time? Wasn't
they were at House of Blues last spring.
Okay.
Yeah, they came through the previous spring and played at, not House of Blues.
No, it was we're touching Rich Hedder thing, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of that place? Jesus. Not Orpheum, right? No.
Help us out.
No, the Wilbur.
Hardy.
Yeah,
Wilbur.
No,
Wilbur.
Not Wilbur. Across from Wilbur.
No, that's where Touch and Rich were at.
Yeah, where's
yeah.
Okay. No.
I thought they played there.
No. The place where Cuts for Causes.
Oh, I don't know. Grand?
Yes. No, that's not the name of it. Hardy, Royale. Help us. Royale, thank you.
Royale, sorry.
Thank you.
Atiba.
I knew you guys would know.
I've never been to the Royale. I don't know.
Have a Royale with cheese.
That's where they played the year before. Last year they played, this past spring they played at House of Blues.
That is a tasty burger.
And they sold it out. And it was...
They always sell it, don't they?
Hell of a time. Yeah.
Good cover band.
Awesome. They're awesome. Really good. Mark in Medford on the Bruins.
Shocker.
Mark.
What's up, guys?
Hey. How are you?
What's up, guys?
It's almost Christmas. Just kidding. Anyway...
No.
Guys, in all honesty, it's great. Everybody's back for the Bruins. They got the same exact team as last year, minus Achari, which is not a big loss. But what are your expectations? Because given what happened in the playoffs last year with the premature exits from teams that shouldn't have been eliminated, okay, my expectations for this team have not changed an iota from the beginning of last season. Because even you said it a little while ago, Beto, that other teams have also gotten better, too. So... my expectations are not going to surpass Tampa Bay, and I don't think Tampa Bay is going to get eliminated in the first round again. So I see the Bruins finishing in the middle of the pack again, probably second in the division or whatnot, and probably going deep into the playoffs. But there's no guarantee that this team is going back to the Stanley Cup Finals. And for all the pink hat Bruins fans that are out there, please don't get your expectations up that high, because it might not happen.
Yeah, and I actually don't think it's going to happen. I'd be very surprised if they ended up back in that position. I'd be thrilled if they ended up back in that position.
The path of least resistance, that's what they had. That was the biggest advantage they had. Other teams should be better. They should get better. They get swept.
Well, not only that, they had good luck along the way this past year.
Yeah.
You know?
The way it broke, yeah.
So things sort of went their way. And I think that... I think that benefited them already, and now everyone's gotten better, and I don't think they're going to have that same easy path that they had. I'm curious to see what happens to Tampa Bay this year. What happens to Tampa Bay after the collapse that they had last postseason? I mean,
that's startling.
How do you recover from that as a team, as an organization? How do you recover from something like that?
Oh, you send out a tweet.
No, you know what I mean.
That's what you do. Didn't they do that once? Wasn't that the team that set it up?
Yeah, no, they did.
So sorry to our
fans. We're so sorry. We're so sad, too. We're stunned, blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you do?
We hit a brick wall.
Do you play a lot of golf and try and forget about it? I mean, what happens?
Yeah, I don't think guys dwell on
it. You go to the beach a lot?
I don't know. Ask Matt Ryan what he does. Seriously, you know what you do? You go sit in your 10,000-square-foot house. You play golf. Go to the beach. By boat.
Christian's in Shutesbury. Christian.
Shutesbury?
Hey, how's it going,
who'd you shoot?
Shutesbury's out by Amherst.
Is that serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you.
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, I was going to call in about that Carlo contract, honestly, because it's a huge thing for the Bruins. I mean, the way I see it is, you know, with McAvoy and Carlo, when both of those guys get done, I mean, they're still going to be in control of the Bruins. And with that being said, you know, when it gets down to, you know, signing to a long-term contract, like, that is going to be the perfect scenario. You could sign them long-term now. Yeah, that's one way to go about it. But, I mean, that gives them more leverage in the long run. So, I mean, to kind of keep it short and simple, I just think that signing them to the deal that they did now, you know, and now, in the long term, where they want to give them the big contract.
And your phone's breaking up, but I'm going to summarize this for you. You bought yourself some more time.
Yeah.
You still have some key, team control on the other end. And what if McAvoy is, over the 3 years, hurt a lot, is not playing well, doesn't turn out to be as talented or have the ceiling that is as high as we all think he has? Yeah. I mean, we all think he's going to be great. I'd say it's far more likely that he is winning a Norris, you know, even though that's a lofty goal. I mean, that's putting a lot on a player. But you've got time now.
Yeah.
You've got more time to evaluate
right.
what the player is going to be at this level.
You got to look at it that time, too. Who's your impact players? Who the hell knows? You know, we're Bergeron
right.
for 3 years.
Who knows?
Krejci. We'll be well past the Krejci era, right?
And so, good for the Bruins. They did well, and Don Sweeney did well. So any concerns we had or any crap we were talking early in the summer, we were wrong. They were right again.
Right.
Bruins hit a home run. Great job, Bruins. That's a positive sign. Way to go in the front office.
You know, the Patriot buses were buzzing when that deal came down. Like, how the hell did Charlie McAvoy only sign for 4.9 a year?
The Bruins?
Yeah.
The Bruins are paying attention. I mean, the Patriots are paying attention
to
the Bruins?
Yeah, when it was announced, everybody's on Twitter and stuff. The whole, bus was talking about it. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Shocked.
All right. Well, Bruins are in business as they get closer to their season. 617-779-0985. A couple of star athletes spoke yesterday in Boston. I think maybe the two biggest athletes of my lifetime in Boston, David Ortiz and Tom Brady, both spoke yesterday in comfortable closed settings. Ortiz to a number of hand-picked media members and Brady to his hand-picked guy, Jim Gray. We'll start with Ortiz and what he had to say to both the Globe and some TV reporters. We'll do that coming up next.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everything got out of control. You know, everything, people started making a story that I was being chased by a car. I got shot because of a woman, over a woman. This and that. All that crazy stuff that I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
A little strong, this song.
Well, he didn't die.
Right.
Glad he didn't, of course.
That's nice of you.
Well, I just want to make sure that's clear, you know? We get accused of a lot of things here. Just want to make sure everyone understands.
Just be a stand-up guy, that's
that
all.
We do love David Ortiz like everybody else. I'm glad he's okay. Glad he's recovered nicely. He looks great, got to say.
Looks good.
Dude looks good. What I find completely bogus, though, is this press tour. A waste of my time. I don't know how everyone else feels about it. I can tell you it feels like a waste of my time.
Feels like it's forced, right?
You feel like a waste of your time?
Yeah, I mean, it's just forced.
Did you read Bob Holler in the Globe this week?
Did not.
That's a waste of your time. Don't bother. Don't bother.
Fluff piece, right?
Fluff piece. Fluff piece. If you want some sanitized David Ortiz PR version of what happened, go to that. Go to the fluff piece talking about, again, the sanitized, oh, we don't know what happened. We don't know why anybody would be after me. If any of this tabloid rumor stuff had happened, I would have called the president of the DR. Waste of time. And you got more of it last night. More of it last night on your local news.
Which channel?
Pick one.
I know. They
Did
all
see what
us.
Happened last night?
It was
night?
Weird, man.
So
yeah.
It's funny. Last night during the baseball pulled. Reporters, I texted Jimmy Stewart last night because I heard the start of the baseball reporters. I was in the car and I heard Maz say, Jimmy, who did he speak to? David Ortiz, that is, on camera. Well, you could have turned on any of the news stations last night, yeah. Any of the news stations in town, which includes 4, 5, 7, NBC 10 or Comcast, Channel 25 or NESN. Any of those stations, and any of those stations had interviews with David Ortiz and sort of propped up those interviews without calling them exclusives, but were able to say that their sports anchors sat down with David Ortiz and talked to David Ortiz.
Well, that's what it looked like.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't it look like that?
Yeah, it did.
The way they were able to do that is because they set up like a pool camera, like it was a pool reporting session at Fenway Park, where David Ortiz sat down and each reporter, sports reporters that is, news anchors were not invited, the sports guys were invited to talk to David Ortiz about his case. They did not want news people there, they wanted sports
guys. Of course not, you don't want Byron Barnett.
Sports people were requested, not the news people. My understanding,
that's not a good look.
My understanding is that if news people had shown up instead of the sports people, they were not going to be allowed to talk to him.
Why?
Because he wanted to talk to the people that he knew and the people that had covered the team while he was a player.
I mean, I understand that, but I think what they fear, too, is a guy like Byron.
What does that feel like to you? Does that feel like
fluff? Setup.
Fluff?
Yeah.
Friendly setup. I'm only speaking. That's like Brady saying, I only talk to Jim Gray.
No, it made me feel like the last week here with the Antonio Brown stuff going on with all the news reporters in the building.
Right. Like, that's what you want.
All the news reporters are doing all the press conference questions, and then Belichick storms off 4 minutes in.
Right. So
that's what it reminds me of.
It's like, you know, Byron Barnett, the people's champ, Byron Barnett, is not allowed in. That's what it would be like. It would be the equivalent of saying, Mike Reese, you can come in. Byron Barnett, no, because you're going to ask some real questions, and we don't want you in here.
But not allowed in, or not even told that it was happening?
Not told it was happening and not allowed in. As in, the sports guys were told, you can come and you can show up and you can ask the questions. You send a news guy instead, they will not be allowed to ask the questions.
Secret society.
At secret society is this.
It's weird.
Until everything's recorded, and then they can put it out.
So it was a secret society set up for David Ortiz at Fenway Park yesterday. What are you hiding? Why? What? What do you mean?
That's my question. Why'd you have to do it?
Because you're on a PR tour, because you're selling something.
I guess. But really, I mean, is he
if you're just answering news requests to speak to news reporters, you just speak to them. No. Just send the sports guys. Don't send the bulldogs like Byron Barnett. We got no time for those guys.
They get the bad questions. They don't want
to
answer them.
Send me your sports guy. Send me your sports guy over. We want to talk to the sports
Rochi.
Guy. Send me Rochi.
Send me Rochi.
So
bring his baseball.
Send me Rochi. So he wants his baseball.
He wants his guys asking him questions, and he has his guy investigating in the Dominican Republic, and Ed Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his newspaper, owned by his friend John Henry, getting the exclusive with Bob Holler.
Holding.
Which, if you compare Bob Holler, who is, I've been told many, many times, like the guy in this town for investigative stories. Compare Bob Holler's coverage of this to, like, Brady's clinic or Brady's...
The Guerrero story.
Which, by the way, I'm not putting down. That was good coverage. That was in-depth, hard-hitting. We're getting in there. We're getting in the nitty-gritty. We're going to, you know, get to all the, you know, inconsistencies and some of the dirty stuff there. I'm not putting down that story. I'm just saying this one doesn't rise to that level.
Doesn't add up.
Trust me, don't take that the way the, oh, you said this about Brady. No. Keep doing your reporting on Brady. Absolutely. Keep doing all that stuff.
You're waiting for like a
And then do the same on this one. Do the same on this story, too.
You're waiting for a whole hit piece on like the Antonio Brown or
not
something.
A hit piece. Like not a hit piece. Not just a hit piece.
Just some investigation.
Go to the same level. Go to the same lengths.
He just took it for, when Ortiz said that wasn't me in that car that got run off the road. That was just, he asked the question, he answered the question, and he took it for, okay, that's gospel.
Like, took it at face value.
That's gospel, it seemed. Yep, that's it.
It took it at face value. Wasn't him.
It wasn't me that got ran off the road.
Oh, okay. Who was it?
There wasn't anything further. That was it. That was the column.
And before I go to town on, you know, hammering Bob Holler, I question this. Like, what's going on at the Globe? You know, when Bob Holler hits send and submits his story, what happens to his story? Is someone whitewashing it for him? What happens there?
Yeah, he had it.
Or does what he sends in what hits the paper?
Sort of like ESPN, they like to do that.
You know? Is there some lawyer? I was gonna say on Morrissey Boulevard, but I don't even know where they are anymore. Downtown? Or are they over on the corner of State Street now? Is that where they are? Somewhere over there. I think they're over near the old State House. Over on State Street, if that's where they are. There's some lawyer getting in the way over there on John Henry's behalf. These are all questions I have. All legitimate questions. But I'm telling you, this thing the last 2 days has been a PR tour. Yes, sports guys only. No news guys were welcome at Fenway Park yesterday for David Ortiz. And they were propped up as like they were in exclusive interviews, but each guy only got like two questions. That's how it was conducted yesterday. That's why you got some odd camera angles on each of the news broadcasts last night. It would go to Ortiz, and then it would go back to the interviewer, and then you're like, wait, is he looking? You may not have noticed it, but
no, they
to a trained media eye, I watched it and was like, what the hell? Hey, wait, is he even looking at the interviewer?
The whole thing's weird.
Now that you know this, if you go back and watch some of it, you can see it. 617-779-0985. Speaking of Tom Brady, he spoke to his guy Jim Gray last night, along with Joe Namath.
Joe Willie.
We'll get to that next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Tom, we're going to step away from the ordinary tonight. You won 43-0. We're not going to talk about your game yesterday or any league issues because 49 years ago, as we celebrate the 50th season of Monday Night Football, the game that kicked it all off was the Jets against Cleveland. And the starting quarterback in that game for the Jets, Joe Namath. And Joe joins us this evening. Joe, how are you?
Oh, Jim, I'm doing well. And hello, Tom.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you coming on. As we look back, you lost the game, but what did you think of playing on a Monday night?
Tommy, can you hear me? Can you feel me near you?
What's wrong with his pants? What's wrong with his pants?
We're up, Zoe. Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand.
The Dolphins wore see-through pants.
Yeah, I saw that too. I spotted that.
Yeesh.
I don't know which player that was.
A jock strap on. That's a safety.
Those pants were rather see-through.
Yeah, a diaper and a jock strap on.
Were rather see-through.
You and I both
we both were like, whoa, see-through pants.
You know who had them too? It was Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. I noticed that.
Can we put that picture back on? Who was that?
It was Brady under center, and it's a look from
behind.
It's
from the look from behind the Miami defense. Yeah. We could get to that point in the montage again.
It was horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you see it now, Hardy?
Oh, I can see it.
We're on a delay, so we don't see it yet.
You can see it on the screen. Out there and loving every minute of it.
Look at that bad boy.
We can't see it yet, so.
Yeah, stuffy dangling around and all hanging out.
Delayed.
There's a problem with yoga pants a few years ago. They had to...
I'm not like that.
Quote unquote, fix the material, but
The Lululemons.
Yeah,
they were very see through,
yeah, very sheer.
Yeah, those pants are see through.
Philadelphia wore the same. Look how little the guy's jock is on the left. Like you see how thin it is. Look at the other guy in the middle. His is huge.
Seems like it'd be uncomfortable jock that small.
Like the other one's got like a little. He's got a little bikini on the left.
All right,
Jesus.
All right then. Very good.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. Brady with Namath. Yeah,
Tommy?
What else do we have, Hardy, from this interview last night? They didn't talk about current events, did they? They skipped all of that. They just talked about things other than that.
Yeah.
Convenient, the week of Antonio Brown being here.
Unless anybody thinks that this is still live and off the cuff and all that stuff. Tom Brady was bowling last night at the James White event. So at the very least, it was pre-recorded, but... I still think these things are edited. So anyway, here we go. Brady with Jim Gray last night.
You know, it's amazing when I think about, and I've seen some Bear Bryant, I've seen some Paul Brown, I've seen a lot of Vince Lombardi, and I think Coach Belichick, I think that way of coaching, and really as a disciplinarian, is going out of style in the NFL, unfortunately. I mean, that's the only coach that I've ever known, and I think it's an amazing way, it's an amazing style, is to, you know, you coach the players and you coach them and you give them the truth. And you motivate them to be the best they can be. And without Coach Belichick coaching me the way that he has, there's no way I would become the player that I am today. So even though I didn't play for Coach Bryant, I definitely can understand what his MO would be as a coach, and I really respect that.
No, a Jim Gray-less clip. That was kind of disappointing.
Boy, he's a throwback, huh?
Brady?
Yeah.
Well, he's, I think he is.
They don't have many more.
He's part of a dying breed.
Yep. He just said it, too. And he basically ripped all the other coaches, like the casual coach, right? Not the disciplinarian. Like, how many disciplinarians are there? Think about it. It's like Tom Coughlin was Belichick. Pete's loosey-goosey. They bring their own stereo with them. You know, pounding music during the game.
But doesn't Brady sort of... See, this is where I hear that, and I go, Brady does appreciate sort of an old-school way of doing things. But he also sort of wants his star treatment, too, doesn't he? He wants his guy Guerrero around.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to do the team style of, you know, off-season training. He wants to do his methods, not necessarily the team's method. Like... You can't
fill that bucket up, Beetle.
You can't love the disciplinarian style and then tell your coach, yeah, but I don't do things your way. I do that part of it my way. Like there's sort of a divide there, isn't there?
So he was at James White's thing.
He was.
That's pretty cool.
In Dedham.
Yeah.
A little surprise
Paul
there.
Brown, I've seen a lot of Vince Lombardi, and I think Coach Belichick, I think that way of coaching, and really as a disciplinarian, is going out of style in the NFL, unfortunately. I mean, that's the only coach that I've ever known. And I think it's an amazing way, it's amazing style, is to, you know, you coach the players and you coach them and you give them the truth.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because right now I would assume that Brady would much rather be playing for one of those newer style coaches than Bill. So to hear him say that is interesting.
I don't know.
Like if I had to take a guess, I'd assume he'd much rather be playing for a guy who says, oh, yeah, TB12 and your methods, yeah, go for it. You want your guy here? Bring him on the road. Have a whole crew of guys here. Bring half a dozen.
How would Brady do a 9-7? How would he deal with that mentally? Like, that guy wants to win.
I don't know. This is a guy who just only puts good food in his body, like that much of a disciplinarian, where he's disciplining himself. So maybe he wants that for his entire, like, lifestyle for his career. You know? Like, he doesn't eat anything bad because of what it does for him on the field. He's got to know that Belichick's like that him, too.
But, like, playing for a disciplinarian means conforming to whatever the hell the boss says.
Yeah.
And the boss lets him skip OTAs and stuff, and he doesn't have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Belichick's...
Yeah, I don't think some of those other guys he names, though, would have let him do that. Paul Browning saying, oh, yeah, go ahead, skip some of these off-season practices. He said, get your ass in here and get on the field.
Bucket filling? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what was the movie? Bear Bryant Junction Boys movie? Yeah.
I would also say that Bill Belichick is less of a disciplinarian than maybe people automatically assume he is. I think he's probably a good blend of new and old. I don't think he's, you know, Bill's got sort of a stern persona to him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's some sort of epic hard ass with his players, is he?
No, I think he's...
I don't think he is.
No, but he just said in the clip, he said it's when you do something wrong, he tells you you did it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There's no sugarcoating it.
No, not at all. But I don't think he's one of those guys that, you know, is screaming and yelling at his players just for the sake of being loud or being, you know, yelling or doing any of that stuff. He's just, you know, who he is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they also talked about the media last night.
Oh. Is there such a thing anymore as being a star in the National Football League and having a low profile?
Well, I'd say the challenging part today is there's so many people that are seeking a headline. And, you know, if you say one thing that's taken out of context, it becomes blown up in a way that takes on a life of its own. And when they take the context out of what you say, it becomes very distracting or distressing, especially in a team environment when you're trying not to cause distraction. So, unfortunately, I think over the years I've gotten more protective of what I'm saying, because there is a lack of trust in speaking your mind, because people aren't interested in context, and they're going to take what they want to make their story, and they're going to use you to make a story. So I do think in the advent of social media, the one thing that's been really cool for me is I get to have my own voice and in my own words. And I think that's a very empowering thing for an athlete. It's very different than when Joe played, or certainly early in my career, and it does take up some discretionary amount of time, but you don't feel like you're when you say something that's going to be taken out of context if you're doing it yourself. So there's definitely has its pluses and minuses, its advantages, disadvantages, but that's the world we're living in.
Uh-huh. You think Joe's on social media? It was a different world.
He says in the interview he used to be on FaceTime, but not anymore.
Yeah, I think Namath just...
Namath.
Yeah, he just does TikTok. I don't think he does anything else.
TikTok, you don't stop.
Yeah. He's on, and he's on Twitter.
He meant at Facebook. Real Joe Namath. I used to be on FaceTime, but it got too much.
What got too much? Dialing somebody?
He's on Twitter. Real Joe Namath.
What, answering the phone? He just threw his phone out?
So those were obviously pretty much all Brady there, but it doesn't mean that Jim Gray did not drop a bunch of toms.
Oh, boy, we have another montage?
In a way, we do.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Tom.
All right, Tommy.
There it is.
You knew it.
Who did that? Is that Hardy or Tom?
That was a collaborative effort, and Mason is ready to kill me. I was back there like Jack Horner in the editing bay in Boogie Nights. No, bring that around right here and really have the title jump out at you for this first Brock Landers movie. Nope, move that around. Back there. Back there.
All right, Tommy.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
That's from last night.
Thanks, Artie. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Sorry, Mason.
90 seconds, no commercials. We're back with the noontime hour. More of your calls as well. Oh, man, that interview. That interview is something else.
He must get compensated so well.
He must get quite a bit of cash for doing that interview. We are live from Gillette Stadium today. The latest on Antonio Brown, we'll tell you that next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.